operated finger toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Finger Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Finger Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Finger Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Now that the dust and smoke have cleared following the failed assault on the U.S. Embassy in Damascus, Syria, American officials want to know who's behind it. State Department spokesman Tom Casey.
We haven't seen this kind of a price decline in gasoline prices in a number of years.
Oil prices at the top of our list today. Oil analyst Peter Butel says gas prices came down, or oil prices came down about 3% to $63.76 a barrel, down another $1.85. The reasons? A weak hurricane season. Iran's oil situation seems stable. Americans are using less fuel, and the weather is still nice.
It's something that consumers should enjoy, but not to the point that they rush out and buy new SUVs. Buy something smaller, and maybe this can continue.
Another improvement in gas prices soon. As of Friday, gasoline stations start switching to winter blend gasoline, and it costs less. Summer blends usually tick up the price 10 to 15 cents a gallon, but they have not been giving it all back to us in the fall in the past. If hydrogen-powered cars are the future is getting a little closer.
BMW plans to build about 100 of its luxury 7 Series sedans that can run on two fuels.
The car is equipped with a V12 engine that is capable of both running on hydrogen and on gasoline.
Spokesman Andreas Klugescheid says you won't be able to buy one of these yet.
These cars will serve as cars that can be tested by the users, and we are very interested in their feedback.
General Motors this week is showing off its Chevy Sequel, a fairly normal-looking minivan, but it's electric, a hydrogen fuel cell. Manufacturers are starting to make hydrogen cars. All we need are filling stations. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
A classified intelligence report leaked to the media says the U.S. does not have the troops in Al Anbar province to stop the insurgents.
A U.S. Marine general responded by conceding, actually, that the picture in Al Anbar province is very uneven, that certain areas they have been able to make some progress, but other areas remain very, very unstable and violent and beyond the control of U.S. forces there.
Right. CBS's Lara Logan is in Baghdad. State Department spokesman Tom Casey says the officials want to know why and who was behind the van that did not go off, rigged with propane gas canisters in Damascus, Syria.
The vehicle near the front of the compound did in fact explode. The other wasn't detonated. The explosive materials in it were defused by Syrian authorities.
One attacker was captured by Syrian authorities, and U.S. officials want to crack at questioning him, too. Ever dropped a bolt when you're reaching about as far as you can, and then naturally it lands on the lip of the oil pan? The spacewalk was going beautifully. Then an inch-and-a-half long bolt in its washer slipped, but didn't fall, of course. It just skittered away into space, away from spacewalking astronauts and the space station, becoming the newest tiny satellites of Earth, until one day they'll burn up in the atmosphere. Good thing they took along some extras, huh? On Wall Street, the Dow gained 101 points today. NASDAQ jumped 42. This is CBS News.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the right way to stop them is
Barracuda Network, Spam, Spyware, and IM Firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
If you're taking a trip and wanted to go an extra 33,000 miles, would you be better off with the Michelin man driving or with a cabbie?
Where are you going?
Across the country, 11 times.
That'd be about $62,000.
Is that with the air conditioning on or without?
Without.
Well, the Michelin man can beat that hands down. Michelin HydroEdge tires outlast the leading competitor by up to 33,000 miles. So you get more tire for your money. To find a Michelin dealer nearest you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
The war in Iraq is political. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says President Bush played politics by speaking to the nation about the war on terror and on Iraq last night.
He used to defend an unpopular war in Iraq and to launch clumsily disguised barbs at those who disagree with his policies.
White House spokesman Tony Snow.
We took great pains not to say Democrat versus Republican. The president did have an obligation as commander-in-chief in a time of war to let people know what he was thinking.
Prosecutors say he was the T-ball coach from the dark side. Mark Downs Jr., Dunbar, Pennsylvania, accused of trying to make things miserable for a young boy with mild autism and a speech impediment by offering one of his better players $25 to throw baseballs at the unfortunate 9-year-old boy to make sure he wouldn't play. Downs' attorney claims it was a joke. There's a trial underway. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano, I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
The Peter B. Collins Show is underway for another day from the Left Coast. Live, unscripted, unrehearsed, progressive talk radio. We got a lot to talk about. Coming up next hour, comedian Doug Ferrari returns to the program, and he's kind of serious and not always serious, you know what I mean? And he watched intently, actually took notes on the Path to 9/11 docu-prop thing on ABC the last two nights, complete with a cutaway to the president's heartfelt politicized speech. Doug will be with us next hour, and he'll give us his thoughts on the Path to 9/11. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org, on top of the Wilson leak case. His latest piece of Truth Out is called Armitage Schmarmitage. And we'll talk about David Broder's bizarre column in the Washington Post last week where he thinks Karl Rove deserves an apology. Hold on, David, hold on. Also on today's program, counsel for Joe and Valerie Plame Wilson, Melanie Sloan will join us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And a little bit later, from the nation's capital at Camp Democracy, Jeff Millard is going to check in. They had a successful operation on Capitol Hill today, and he'll tell you the details. Your calls and comments are always welcome on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. And 24/7, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Our guest this hour is journalist Chris Mooney. And his brand new book, the New York Times bestseller out in soft cover, is called The Republican War on Science. Now, it's one thing to have contempt for science. It's another thing to trust your religious faith over science. But this administration has demonstrated contempt for science, a preference for religion or religiosity, and we, the citizens of this nation, are the losers. Chris Mooney, as you put this book together and surveyed the landscape of the Bush administration relative to science, I'd like you to respond to this characterization. A few years back, I was hosting a show produced by Katrina Rill, who's with you there at the Mother Jones Studios in San Francisco, and we did a weekly science update that we described as the intersection of science and politics.
And the way I described it under the Bush administration is that, listen carefully, 9 out of every 8 times, politics trumps science when it comes to this group in the White House. Your thought?
Sounds about right. I don't know about your arithmetic.
It's fuzzy math, and, you know, it fits right in with the Bush administration.
There's certainly a serious and systematic problem in this administration when it comes to political appointees or even the president himself misrepresenting the scientific information. There's no doubt about it, and it spans a wide variety of issues, from global warming to embryonic stem cell research.
And in some cases, it's pandering to political groups, and in other cases, it is servicing the corporate interests that have paid for the party.
Yeah, also a political group, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. The war on science has gotten so bad because it's coming from two different directions simultaneously. It's sort of like the perfect storm. On the one hand, science under attack to serve moneyed interests or to serve the corporate part of the Republican base. On the other hand, science under attack to serve the moral interests or the religious conservative part of the Republican base.
Mm-hmm. Take us back to the Reagan administration, because this whole effort to manipulate science or to marginalize it in the interests of the two types of constituents we just touched on does go back to the Reagan years. And interestingly, the name George Keyworth comes up in your book in several places, and he surfaced last week in this West Coast scandal about the Hewlett-Packard boardroom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's on the board, and he, in fact, has been identified as the leaker who caused the board chair, a woman named Dunn, to launch an investigation that she now concedes crossed the line. But George Keyworth was the guy on the HP board who's been accused of leaking to the media.
And he was also Ronald Reagan's science advisor. That's really interesting. I'd never heard that. But
yeah.
The thing about the Reagan administration is that in so many ways, with respect to science and with respect to other things, it echoes this current administration. So Reagan, like President George W. Bush, you know, he spoke out, he reached out to the creationists. He actually made anti-evolutionary statements. And this was an indication that these kinds of religious conservative interests were becoming a key part of the constituency that Reagan had to appeal to. And now, of course, they're only more powerful in the Republican Party now than they were then. The way that Reagan behaved with respect to acid rain is really very similar to the way that George W. Bush has behaved with regard to another atmospheric problem, global warming. You know, essentially, you know, speak as if the science is uncertain and sort of then do a holding pattern for 8 years and not deal with the problem in any real way.
And Chris, you know, some of this was framed for me in an odd way by the movie that came out earlier this year called Thank You for Smoking. And that's where the lobbyists for tobacco, alcohol, and guns would get together on a weekly basis and kind of compare notes on how many people they had killed. And their jobs were to slow down whatever regulatory process was looming to try to limit consumption of these products. And similarly, it appears that the motivation on the right to challenge established science, we're not talking about fringe stuff, we're not talking about woo-woo stuff in the future, but established science, they challenge it because they're able to raise enough doubt to buy enough time so that the big oil companies and the other resource extractors can continue to maintain huge profits even as they plunder the planet.
Absolutely. There's a tried and true playbook for doing this, and I'm glad that you do bring up that movie, Thank You for Smoking, because, of course, a lot of the playbook, a lot of the techniques were pioneered by the tobacco industry. Although,
yeah,
you know, corporate attacks on science go back even further than that. You can look at something like the lead industry and going back even further. But
asbestos, yeah.
There's a long history here, and it's essentially trying to preserve status quo at all costs. And once you commit to that course of action, if the scientific information is what's in your way, then you're going to have to find some way of rebutting that. These industries have immense resources, and they sink them into this. And what happens is a lawyerly approach to the scientific information is taken, where, you know, they sort of pick little isolated morsels to sort of debunk and undermine and never let you see what the big picture is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often taking the form of a public relations campaign rather than really science unfolding in the published and refereed literature, which is where science actually happens.
Yeah. And along the way, individual scientists end up prostituting themselves because the lure of a big payday that might help pay for their next round of research permits many of them to rationalize, well, you know, I just raised a few questions. I didn't really damage the science.
Sure, there are the industry-friendly scientists on the one hand, and in some ways equally troubling, although in a different way, there is, if it becomes necessary, there is the attack on the scientists who have come up with a particular piece of information and sort of dragging them through the mud as part of an attempt to undermine their science. So we've seen that again and again, and most recently we've seen sort of concerted attacks from the right-wing think tanks on global warming and from the politicians who carry their water on the authors of 1 8-year-old study in climate science called the hockey stick, and they just won't let it go, even though there's many other studies that support its basic findings, and it's only one of thousands of studies that essentially bolster our case for concern about global warming.
Chris Mooney's with us. His book is called The Republican War on Science. Before we go to a break, Chris, a trick question. If you had to pick one which you think is the most damaging position that the Bush administration has taken counter to proven science, what would be the most glaring example?
I've got to say all the things that they've done to undermine the science related to global warming, because on this issue, unlike any other, we really are talking about the fate of the planet. And scientists will tell you they don't know exactly how bad it can get. You know, they have a range of estimates for how high the temperatures can get. They have this inkling that there might be abrupt climate changes that could be kicked off by some sort of feedback that we don't quite understand. They don't know, but we're playing with the entire Earth, and so that's the one that's scariest for me.
All right. We'll pick up there as we continue. Your calls and comments are welcome. For writer Chris Mooney, the new book is called The Republican War on Science. It is well-documented, heavily researched, and a powerful indictment of Bush and his cronies. I call them the Wrecking Crew, and they're achieving a lot of their own goals. If you have a question or a comment, join us, 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, the progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cook cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show with author Chris Mooney.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come on to rule.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. A fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test. But this one is a doozy which required forewarning. A spooky little thing called global warming.
And there he goes, Dr. Elmo, the guy who trashed Christmas with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, released this song last year as part of his efforts to trash Halloween, called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze, and that's his ode to global warming. We're talking with Chris Mooney. The Republican War on Science is the book. It's revised and updated. I misspoke earlier. It was first published in 2005, and it's out now in this updated softcover edition, and it is from Perseus Books, from basicbooks.com. Chris, the global warming issue is certainly the most pressing, and Bush has had to acknowledge that the science is accurate and that there is a real problem, but he still maintains kind of bizarre positions and does not follow through on any recognition of the problem. He always plays the jobs and, economic health cards to prevent any further discussion of the climate change issues.
I would actually slightly disagree with that. I mean, Bush has wavered in his position, and the last that I've heard, sometimes he says it's an issue to be dealt with, but I've heard him say, very recently within the last year, he questioned whether it's natural or man-made. Mm. And that is not accepting the scientific position. And at other times in his administration, like around the time of the G8 when Tony Blair made this a central issue, they seem to have push Bush into the stance of acknowledging that, oh, wow, there's a human component to this. But more recently, he backtracked. So I'm not sure he's even accepting the science yet.
Yeah.
At the very best, it's mixed signals.
He simply writes off Kyoto as a job killer and something that he could not support because it would hurt our economy and the trickle-down tax cuts.
Right. And then there's the policy side of thing where they always exaggerate what the economic costs will be of dealing with the problem and never tell you what the economic costs might be of not dealing with the problem.
And the economic benefits of dealing with the problem.
Sure. Exactly. Exactly.
There are whole potentials for new industries, new science, and new R&D focused on tackling these issues.
No, the cost-benefit equation that you hear from the Bush administration and from people like Senator Inhofe in Congress is always very skewed. But I would add that, you know, it's not at all clear that Kyoto is a solution. Kyoto is only... would only take a small bite out of the problem.
No, I agree. Yeah, so. I don't think that Kyoto was a magic bullet. I don't blame Bush entirely because, of course, Al Gore negotiated it, brought it back, and Bill Clinton never submitted it to the Senate because he knew they didn't have the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a simple issue that Bush is bad because he wouldn't embrace Kyoto, but it is a symptom of his approach to these issues.
Oh, absolutely. And misrepresenting the science, you know, a political leader should never mislead the public about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's science or whether it's the causes of war or the percentage of a tax cut that goes to the middle class. And he has misled us all about global warming by saying he thinks it's, you know, might be natural,
yeah,
what we're seeing.
Chris, I have poor judgment, and I sign up for a lot of different listservs and emails come my way. And almost weekly, I get an email offering me the opportunity to talk to Dr. Myron Ibell. And he is put forward as the climate change specialist from a think tank called the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. And when you take a look at who funds the CEI, it's all of your favorite oil and gas companies, the electricity generating industry in this country, timber. Maybe I've missed a few. But it's a parade of industries who feel they would be adversely affected by regulations that would limit CO2 and other emissions. What do you know about Myron Ibell? Is he really a doctor?
I'm not sure of his qualifications. I don't know if he's a doctor or
not.
I've met him personally. He's a very nice guy. You know, he believes what he says. There's no doubt about that. The Competitive Enterprise Institute, I completely disagree with the way they depict the science on global warming. They put out a report about global warming and hurricanes following Katrina that I found very misleading, and I talked about that on my blog. I mean, they're representative of a broader trend, which is that there are a lot of think tanks out there that are fighting over the science on this issue. A lot of them are supported by, at least to some extent, it's not their only source of funding, but a lot of them are supported by ExxonMobil or by other interests, and collectively they're putting out all of these attempts to undermine various aspects of the science of global warming. Maybe they're not even attacking the human role anymore, but they're attacking, you know, on the issues like hurricanes and so forth. And that's been the tried and true strategy for a long period of time, is fight over the science, because if you fight over the science, you can distract, you can create the sense that there's confusion, that there's doubt, and you can distract from the urgency of addressing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, the scientific community has pushed back. In 2004, there was a remarkable letter signed by 60 individuals, all of whom received Nobel Prizes. Am I correct?
No, I think probably about 20 of them did, and the rest were sort of various scientific luminaries who'd been former science advisors to the president, you know, heads of big institutions,
mm-hmm,
like the National Science Foundation, things like that. But they were all very distinguished scientists.
Yeah. And has that had the desired effect? Do you think that the public registered that the people who really know this stuff don't buy into the approach of the Bush administration?
I think that that was a very consequential moment. I think that the ripple effects of that are still being felt. I mean, that came before my book, and that, my book, the activities of groups like the Union of Concerned Scientists who originally put together that letter, and the activities of a lot of other groups, whether it's the people defending evolution, the people pushing for broader funding of embryonic stem cell research, have collectively helped generate real concern about politics and science at a level that's really, I think, unprecedented in this country. And so we're all feeding into it, and we're all pointing out what's going wrong. And the narrative has really caught on, and the reason it's caught on is because the Bush administration clearly has a problem when it comes to receiving and processing information reliably.
Mm-hmm. But they also seem to believe, and their practices confirm it to some extent, that they can tell their base almost anything. And because it came from them, they're going to be believed and get a kind of benefit of the doubt.
It's true. I mean, I wouldn't go too far, because you do have, you know, commentators like the libertarians. The Bush administration cannot always rely upon them to go along. There is some individuality there, but it's true, there is a lot of loyalty as well. And there are, you know, commentators who I think can always be relied upon to defend the Bush administration no matter what it is that's happened, which always astonishes me.
Yeah, and maybe they got a check like Armstrong Williams or the Cuban-American journalists in Miami. We're going to talk about them a little bit later today. Chris Mooney is with us. The updated edition of The Republican War on Science is out in soft cover, and he's with us this entire hour. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And you can visit Chris Mooney's website, waronscience.com. That's waronscience.com. More coming up here on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio with Jack Page.
Hey, wow, Sheila, I'm so excited about our show.
Our show?
Reality Radio.
Oh, my show.
Hey, we'll be talking about things that really matter in life. Day-to-day struggles, our children, money.
Aging, our fears, anger, and all with a touch of humor.
We'll take your calls and have the Central Coast's most colorful guests.
Every Saturday afternoon, 4 to 5.
Reality Radio with the amazing Sheila Gale.
And the hilarious Jack Page on AM 540 KRXA.
Love it.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 33 minutes past the hour. We're talking with reporter, journalist Chris Mooney. The book, published a year ago now, out in soft cover and updated, it's called The Republican War on Science, and time is running out. Chris Mooney will be appearing tonight, Tuesday, September 12th, in San Francisco at Booksmith on Haight Street. That's 1644 Haight Street, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And for our listeners in Arizona, he'll be at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe, Arizona, on Wednesday, September 27th. Go ahead and mark that down in your calendar. That's Changing Hands Bookstore on McClintock Drive in Tempe, and that's coming up on the 27th of September. Chris, staying with the global warming issue, but shifting slightly the focus here, James Hansen has been a top-ranking official at NASA for many years, and he has tried to be outspoken about his views, his scientific views on climate change, and he's been subject to editing by very junior members of the Bush administration. If I recall, a 23-year-old kid was given authority to edit some of his publications over the last couple of years. Talk about the way the Bush administration has edited and deleted reliable scientific reports paid for by taxpayers as a technique in advancing what you call the war on science.
Absolutely. Well, there's several different sorts of offenses here. So Hansen, on the one hand, there's sort of the gagging of government scientists who know a lot about these issues, and that's always troubling because we as the taxpayers essentially pay the salaries of these people, and I want to know what they know. I'm entitled to know what they know because I'm funding them. And the Bush administration has been preventing us from knowing that on global warming or on other issues. The case study that you referred to was so egregious that Hansen actually made a stink about it, and it got so much attention that it was addressed. So I think he's probably better off now. But then there's within the government, when a scientific agency puts out some sort of report, like, for example, the Environmental Protection Agency, we've actually have a number of case studies where the political people in the White House are going in and changing the way the science is actually depicted, and not just little changes, but, you know, either subtle or not so subtle misrepresentations of the state of understanding, and that's alarming in a different way. Again, it's a government product. Again, we're entitled to the best science from our government because we're paying for it, but instead of being misled.
And is there any recourse? Can we, for example, use websites, the Internet Archive, for example, take shots of government websites on a regular basis to see what has been deleted and what's been added? Do we have any techniques that citizens can use to access this information that political players are trying to prevent us from seeing?
Well, there's non-government sources where you can still get the reliable information, and luckily journalists usually blow the whistle on these stories eventually because someone gets so outraged that they leak the information. So it gets out. It gets out eventually, but it's more about the malfeasance, the playing around with the information. You know, it makes you wonder whether we can trust our government to depict the science accurately, and what are they going to do next? You know, it's a question of credibility, too.
Well, it is. And I also agree with you that since we paid for these things, that we should be entitled to see the information without a political operative interfering.
Oh, absolutely. We're 100% entitled, and that's what's so offensive about it. We rely upon this government to use the best available science to serve and protect us. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can't trust to happen under the Bush administration.
Yeah. You may have heard my earlier reference to the Bush administration as the wrecking crew. And in many cases, they have taken individuals with a clear antipathy to the mission of a cabinet-level office and the regulatory function it's supposed to have, and they put those people in charge so that they can dismantle regulations, impede investigations, reduce the number of investigators who could find any problems, and the whole process really turns years and years of progress on their proverbial ears. Can you give us a couple of examples? Gail Norton, for example, some of the cronies that she brought into the Interior Department?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, it's happening at all levels of the government. You know, on the top level, those are the people that are most prominent, and actually they've probably been critiqued the most. Like someone like Gail Norton was certainly critiqued extensively. But where it really starts interfering with science is when you get down deeper into the process where people actually don't know what's going on, because that's where the scientists are at work and the scientific advisory committees are giving advice to the agencies. So the Bush administration has gone deep down, and they've been putting people on boards and committees who are then, you know, not representative of the mainstream scientific position in a lot of cases. So one example would be they put this guy named David Hager on the Food and Drug Administration,
right,
Reproductive Health Drugs Advisory Committee, and he is sort of a religious right figure. And, you know, he is also practicing OBGYN as well, I believe. But, you know, his position was well outside of the mainstream of the Scientific Advisory Committee, which voted 23-4 that Plan B emergency contraception should be available over the counter. Hager said, oh, no, we need more data about how it's going to affect younger adolescents. This was the technical argument used. And the FDA took that argument and used it to overturn the Scientific Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. So even at this little, you know, way below the radar, this stuff can have a big impact.
Well, and we did a segment yesterday about the aftermath of 9/11 and how Christy Whitman, heading the EPA at the time, offered assurances that they had done testing and that everything was fine and safe for humans to be there in the rescue and excavation operations. And that's just another case of service to a narrow group of well-heeled constituents at the expense of the rest of us.
You know, the Union of Concerned Scientists have done a lot on the scientific integrity issue, and they did a whole number on this one. And actually, since we have somewhat of a division of labor, not consciously, but actually, I figured they'd already done it. I actually don't know the details on this one because I didn't look into it specifically,
mm-hmm.
So I can't comment.
Okay, I understand. Now, you referenced Plan B. That's not the only area where the administration appears to be looking more at religious values than scientific ones. What are some of the other cases that you write about in the book that you think people need to be aware of regarding this kind of interference, again, in an attempt to please or pander to certain conservative religious groups?
Oh, well, you know, the two biggies, right? There's this whole reproductive health area, which we started to touch upon, you know, sort of the war on contraception. And that involves a lot of misuse of science, as you might expect. But then there is evolution and embryonic stem cell research. And those are really, really prominent issues, where especially in evolution, there's been a systematic attempt to undermine the information. It's different from some of the other issues we've talked about in that the actual attack on evolution takes place at the state level, not within the federal government, but you get as high as President Bush or Senator Frist, the Republican politicians sort of kowtowing to the anti-evolutionists and making statements sympathetic to them. So they know that
sure.
They have to make the base happy.
Bush actually entered the discussion over a school district in Texas, I think, which wanted to, insert intelligent design into the science curricula. And I've never seen a sitting president get involved in a school, you know, a local school board issue like that.
Well, I think what happened there was that just some reporter just sort of popped the question to Bush in a press conference, what do you think about intelligent design?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that, you know, Bush reacted in a way that I think he knows he has to react. He knows what his base wants to hear. He said something to the effect of, yeah, we should teach it in science class. What's so extraordinary about that, not only is it not science and not accepted as scientific theory, and most scientists will tell you it can't possibly be because it invokes a supernatural explanation, and that's not what science is about. But also, you know, more troublingly, I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here.
That's
more
okay.
Troublingly, he actually, you know, this contradicts what Bush's own science advisor had said. This science advisor, John Marburger, had said, you know, intelligent design is not science. You know, evolution is the accepted explanation, and that's why we teach it. He'd said this, and then Bush goes out and says the other thing.
Well, that's often used in this administration, where, you know, they will allow people to, you know, narrowly assert certain facts, and then the president goes out and kind of blurs that with a much more emotional, unfocused appeal.
Well, yeah, and it just makes you wonder what the scientific advisory process is for Bush. You know, we don't know. We don't know what's going on day to day. But I have no doubt that Dr. Marburger, you know, is a reliable source of scientific information, but is that where Bush gets it from? Okay, we got this case where he makes this his anti-evolution statement, while his science advisors made very strong pro-evolution statements. We also have Bush meeting with Michael Crichton, the anti-global warming novelist, and talking about global warming. This is allegedly because it's reported by a conservative journalist, but I suspect it's true that it happened. On the other hand, Bush had asked the National Academy of Sciences about global warming, and of course they gave him, you know, straight down the line what the scientific community thinks. So where is he getting his information from? I wonder and I worry.
Yeah, you should and you should. We're talking with Chris Mooney. The book is The Republican War on Science. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Chris, one of the other areas here that I find fascinating is the way that the administration has talked about intelligent design and tried to, you know, be even-handed, as if it has the equivalence, the scientific equivalence, of Darwin's theories of evolution as enhanced and amended. Mm-hmm. And the judge in the case that went up in Pennsylvania last year, I can't recall his first name, but he was Judge Jones.
Yeah, John E. Jones III.
He wrote such a powerful, explicit denunciation of intelligent design as nothing more than a stalking horse for good old creationism.
He absolutely obliterated them. You know, it was wonderful. It was, rarely do you get a judicial opinion so powerful and so comprehensive and such a grand slam. I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it ought to be the end of intelligent design in terms of actually trying to get it into schools.
Well, and it ought to be required reading for any school board that's entertaining a resolution to somehow embrace intelligent design.
Well, if they've got good legal advisors, these school boards are not going to try it. Because those legal advisors are going to look at that opinion and they're going to say, you know, if you do this, look what happened to the people in Dover. Mm-hmm. The judge in that case, actually, I remember, he denounced the breathtaking inanity of the school board for allowing this get all the way to trial when it was obvious they were going to lose and they were going to cost their community a fortune in the process, mm-hmm. which is what happened.
Yeah.
Which is the real consequence of this, right? That money could have been spent on education.
Yeah, like science. Maybe a new laboratory or something. Mm-hmm. Chris Mooney's with us from the Mother Jones Studios in San Francisco. We're talking about the new updated edition of The Republican War on Science. It's out in softcover, $15, and I recommend it to you. We'll continue in just a moment. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Sundays. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Tom Hartman.
The Bushies just don't get it. They think that the only way that you can get somebody to think the way that they think or the way that we think, the only way you can get someone to like America is to kill somebody. I mean, that's George Bush's strategy. If things aren't going well, kill somebody. Yeah, and if you can't kill them, then build a fence.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm sorry, the world isn't that way. And in fact, you want to see where the Republicans want to take us? Just look at where we were in 1890. Look at where, you know, look at Victorian England.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the Republican War on Science. That's the title of the book, sans subtitle. And Chris Mooney, we appreciate that. We've been battling subtitle creep here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And this is out in soft cover. It's an updated edition. What's different from the hardcover, Chris?
Well, I updated the seven body chapters, which talk about current day events. And so I added, you know, following the stories and how they had evolved over that time. But I also, and I think more importantly, I added a very lengthy preface essay in which I developed how my thinking had changed over the year since this book has been out, since it came out originally. And I talked about how I changed how I thought about some things, and mainly talking about why this issue had gotten so big. And I realized it's because it connects to issues that people actually like vote on, like Katrina and the Iraq War, and people see consistencies there. And I also, then I went off on a subject that I had devoted too little attention to in the hardback, and that was, what can we do about the problem? Mm-hmm. And that's what it centrally addresses. And so there's a new focus here in the paperback, and that is on solutions and on actually taking action to address the war on science, which the last book was sort of heavy on outrage and a little light on solutions.
All right. So give us two or three suggested solutions.
Well, I've talked a lot about, and increasingly I'm talking about, members of the scientific community themselves taking on the responsibility of countering some of this stuff. It's hard to know who else you could turn to do that task. I mean, I try to do as much as I can when I'm out in front of the media or when I'm speaking publicly. But I think the scientists themselves have got to become much better communicators. They really talk only within a narrow world of other scientists, and they don't know how to actually explain their knowledge to the rest of America, and they certainly don't know how to counter these very sophisticated public information campaigns that are trying to undermine science in areas like global warming or evolution. So they've got to really step it up.
Yeah. Now, Chris, you came to the West Coast. You're based in Washington. You're their correspondent in Washington for Seed Magazine, and you write for the American Prospect, Mother Jones, Wired, others. You probably came to the West Coast hoping for some really great salmon. And this year we have to disappoint you. We're flying it in from Alaska. We've got the farm-raised crap farm-raised salmon from the Northwest and from the Atlantic. But we had to suspend the salmon run except for amateur fishermen this year. Give us a quick sketch of the science wars over the use of Klamath River water and how you think the issues have been fudged by the Bush administration.
Well, it's just another case study, you know, and it's really sad that the resources have been managed so badly that you have to cut off a whole season. But I wrote a chapter in the book about how the science fight had gotten so out of hand over the Klamath River Basin, and it began with drought conditions, you know, leading the wildlife experts to say, you know, we've got to shut off the water to the farmers because otherwise the fish aren't going to have enough water. And, you know, that was a decision that they made on the basis of limited information, the best information that they had, though, at the time. And, you know, then that was widely attacked, and it actually served as the basis for a very misleading attempt to reform and undermine, they call it reform, I call it undermining, the entire Endangered Species Act by changing the science rules that go into making an endangered species decision. This is what the Republicans want to do. And what they want to do is they want to demand much more evidence before you can do something. Well, these decisions about endangered species protections are always being taken, you know, quickly and with not much information, because it's hard to know a lot about endangered species. They're very rare, and you've got to act quickly or else, you know, they may perish in the interim. And what, under the name of science, what they're going to do is make it harder to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the Klamath has led directly to, that kind of reform that they're proposing, which is another case of, you know, how they misuse and abuse science.
Yeah. Richard Pombo chairs the, he's a member of the House, a Republican from Northern California, and he chairs the House Resources Committee. What do you consider to be his sins against science?
Well, he's behind this thing that I just talked to you about, this Endangered Species Act reform that they've been pushing. They call it sound science. It's nothing of the sort, but that is their PR code word that they use to describe this kind of tinkering where they're going to change the rules of evidence that you can't really do anything anymore. And effectively, they're misusing science. So he's behind that. He's not the only one, but there are a lot of Republicans, especially sort of free market Western Republicans who are the allies of the ranchers or the loggers, mm-hmm. or whatever interest, you know, wants to do something with some plot of land that has an endangered critter living on it. But also Pombo, you know, among many other outrages, he actually put out a report with another conservative Republican in the House named Jim Gibbons, essentially downplaying the risk of mercury pollution. And I go into this in the book as well. Okay, so it's another case where science is pretty strong that, you know, there's a human role in help putting this junk up in the atmosphere, and then, you know, it ends up in fish that we eat. And, you know, that's sort of pretty well established, and they tried to undermine all that with a very dubious report. And this is just sort of standard fare, you know, and there's never any consequence for putting out this kind of information. And that's something that I really wish would change.
When you mentioned mercury, I'm a sailor, and I was out on the bay weekend before last with some friends who have an 8-year-old, and he's a big fan of tuna fish, and he's been eating canned tuna almost every day for a number of years. And a friend of theirs has a slightly older child who developed serious health awareness and attitude problems. And when they cut the kid off of a canned tuna, it took about 6 months, and they purged his system, and he made about a 180-degree change. Now, this is anecdotal. I want to mm-hmm. be the first to say that's not pure science. But the science about mercury poisoning or mercury infiltration in our food does seem to be downplayed in the interests of the industries that benefit from that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the real risk is the pregnant mothers who eat too much fish. And, you know, the National Academy of Sciences has actually done a report on this. They looked at all the studies, they looked at all the evidence, and they said that, you know, none of the studies are perfect, right? They never are. That's the way science is. But when you look at it all, it points to the fact that there being a real risk, and that was what, you know, the regulatory policy was supposed to be based on. And then, sure enough, the think tanks went on the attack, and they, you know, attacked one study, which was part of the basis for the conclusions by the National Academies, and they highlighted the other study, you know, which they like better, and ignoring the whole body of evidence, which is what the scientific experts did. And that's where the fight's been on mercury. And so then you get Republican politicians using these talking points saying, oh, we'll trust this study, not this one, and we'll ignore the weight of the evidence. And that was part of what Jim Gibbons and Richard Pombo did in their mercury report.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dave's on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter and guests. I talked to a number of what seemingly rational people who have been taught that they have to interpret the Bible literally, and that if there's any error in that, then they have to kick the whole thing out. So they have to do an awful lot to make science fit with particularly the Old Testament. They, you know, I'll point out to them, you know that you are ordered here to stone all witches to death. Do you see here that the earth is the center of the universe and the sun rotates around it in a clockwise fashion? And all of this they have to make fit with their science. So I don't know, but it's happening. You would think rational thought would require people to say, I don't think this is something I can take literally.
Well, and Dave, then there's the wise use movement, which takes these religious themes and extends them into the human right to use up all of the Earth's resources so that it will hasten the arrival of Armageddon. Chris?
Yeah, indeed, that's happening.
Well, there's a lot rolling around here. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the attack on evolution is partly driven by people who take the Bible literally, and they think that evolution is inconsistent with that. And, you know, we've got to at least bring the message that for people who do not insist upon reading the Bible literally, that you can actually have acceptance of science, theory of evolution, and you can also have a religious belief too. They're not necessarily contradictory unless you take this extreme, I'm going to read these ancient texts to be entirely literal, position. And so for most of us, we can actually, we don't have to put science and religion in conflict.
Dave, thanks for the call. I'm out of time, but Chris, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a very informative hour. The book, again, is called The Republican War on Science. Chris Mooney has been our guest, and he's appearing tonight, Tuesday, on Haight Street in San Francisco at Booksmith, and also on the 27th of September in Tempe, Arizona, and that's at Changing Hands Books. Chris Mooney, a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
I enjoyed it. Coming up next, Doug Farrar, a comedian and a sometimes serious guy, is going to give you his personal review of ABC's two-night docu-something or other called Path to 9/11. And also next hour, Jason Leopold from truthout.org joins us. We got a couple of things to talk with Jason about. All that straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The latest on Gulf War health problems.
As many symptoms as the Gulf War veterans have, these symptoms are not unique.
A thank you to Syria.
I do think that the Syrians reacted to this attack in a way that helped to secure our people, and we very much appreciate that.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Nearly a third of the troops who served in the Persian Gulf War report problems with their physical or mental health. Out today, the results of a study funded by the Department of Veterans Affairs. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
An exhaustive review of more than 800 studies concludes there's no single Gulf War syndrome, panel chair Dr. Lynn Goldman.
We wanted to really be able to make the definitive judgment about what these studies could tell us.
They say these veterans report far more symptoms than soldiers not sent to the Gulf in the early 90s, that they have higher risks of anxiety and depression. Steve Robinson of Veterans for America says the important point is these vets are sick.
Get it right, once and for all. Gulf War veterans do not believe they suffer from a syndrome.
Barry Bagnall, CBS News, Washington.
The VA will rely on this and other studies in deciding whether Gulf War vets are eligible for special disability benefits. There's a lot of health news today, and one item of particular interest to parents is a study on the use of antibiotics to treat kids' ear infections. Dr. Max April at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York says pediatricians asked moms and dads to take a wait-and-see approach.
They actually gave the parents a prescription and told them to hold on to it for 48 hours. And if the child's getting worse, fill the prescription. 38% of the people did fill the prescription. 62% did not.
Meaning at least 62% of the ear infections cleared up on their own. Now this.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer aspirin your simple wonder. Plus, enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com, and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Washington and Damascus have such bad relations that the American ambassador hasn't been there in more than a year. But CBS News correspondent Richard Roth reports Syria came to the rescue today when the U.S. embassy was attacked by terrorists.
They pulled up to the embassy in a delivery van and two cars. Four men firing automatic weapons and screaming Islamic slogans. Then one of the cars exploded in flames. Syrian security guards outside the embassy walls fought back. Three of the attackers were shot dead, a fourth wounded and captured.
No Americans were hurt and the building was not damaged. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she very much appreciates what the Syrians did, but White House spokesman Tony Snow makes it clear that U.S. appreciation only goes so far.
Syrian police forces did their job, and they were professional about it. Now the next step is for Syria to play a constructive role in the war on terror. Stop harboring terrorist groups. Stop being an agent in fomenting terror.
Neighbors Iraq and Iran fought a bloody war in the 1980s, but now they're cozying up, which makes the Bush administration nervous. Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki got a warm reception when he met with Iran's president in Tehran today. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad pledged Iran's full assistance in establishing security in Iraq. Washington says the best thing Iran could do is stop supporting terrorists in Iraq. We'll see if gasoline prices go down as fast as they went up, but the price of crude oil fell to a six-month low today, $63.76 a barrel.
It seems that the market has been selling off on kind of a combination of better news from Iran and a lack of bad news from hurricanes.
Oil industry analyst Peter Butel. Wall Street likes this trend. The Dow jumped 101 points to close at 11,498, while the Nasdaq finished 42 points higher at 2215. Another reason that gasoline prices should keep falling is that starting Friday, gas stations will switch over to less expensive winter blends. Merck pulled Vioxx off the market 2 years ago after evidence that the painkiller sharply increased the risk of heart attack and stroke. Two new studies out today confirm that, and one study also suggests a link between Vioxx and kidney problems. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. You still have things to do, right? You have dreams. There's no age limit on dreams. There's no expiration date. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book. Your Ameriprise financial advisor, working with you one-to-one, face-to-face, can help you get the dream book started and help you plan for a retirement defined by your dreams.
Because I just don't see you playing shuffleboard, you know what I mean?
To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRIZE today. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, number NASD and...
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where later this hour, Jason Leopold returns to give us the latest on Armitage Schmarmitage in the CIA leak investigation. But first, Doug Ferrari reviews ABC's two-night docu-propaganda miniseries, whatever it's called.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? Well, I was whenever we want to.
Oh, yeah, especially on 9/11.
It's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
Or just watch ABC.
Hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Doug Ferrari returns to the Peter B. Collins Show today, and he is a dedicated American who, at some personal cost, spent two evenings parked in front of the tube watching this bizarre ABC docudrama agitprop piece, including an insert of a presidential speech that, of course, was not political in any way, shape, or form. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, I dedicated 5 hours of my life to this piece of crap just for you and your fine viewers and listeners.
And, Doug, you know, you're a clean and sober guy, and I'm not. I had my crutches. It was a nice little California Merlot that helped me get through both nights. How do you cope?
Well, I write it all down, and then I get to make fun of it on the radio. It constantly had this big disclaimer that there were fictionalized scenes, dramatic recreations, composite characters, and time compression.
Yes.
Apparently, Bush and Cheney were composited into one character because you never saw Bush.
Right.
And they got a very dignified old man who looked like Uncle Sam to be Cheney instead of some bald penguin from Batman looking bastard. So, yes, it was fictionalized. Part one was Clinton did everything wrong, and part two was sort of Bush did everything right, but it looked like they did some editing. And let's go through it real quick, and I'll tell you what I mean. First of all, they're complaining about how they need a warrant for a laptop. Oh, why do we have to have a warrant? And somebody says, it's a new kind of war. And then they try to get Ramzi Youssef, no, we have to get authorization. Since when did the CIA need approval to kill anybody? You know, since when did they need approval for anything like Iran-Contra? And they're trying to get Ramzi Youssef, and the FBI head, Louis Free, puts them on hold. And they're saying, is this why we do this, the way we do this, to sit and wait? And they're constantly being, you know. And then 1993, they were too incompetent. Of course, the FBI and the CIA did a pretty bad job on the original World Trade Center people. They should have been able to get some information from these guys. Remember that these were the guys that were so stupid that they blew up a rental truck and then went back for the deposit.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And then they.
And I don't have the keys, but
yeah. You know, there's nothing left but an axle. But can I have my money back? Then some Pakistani guy says about Ramzi, he says, give me 1 hour with him and I'll give you all the information you want. And they say, no, we have our orders. And then they show the CIA guys 50 yards from bin Laden looking at him with binoculars. Oh, gosh, we could kill him right now. No, they have to wait for approval. Well, that's one of the scenes that I saw on Keith Olbermann. They said that was totally fictionalized. They were never 50 yards from bin Laden. But George Tenet says no. Clinton says he can't give the order. Sandy Berger says no again later. I don't have that authority. And then they show Monica Lewinsky, and they don't mention that all that came out of that was a $50 million dirty book.
Yeah.
You know, and never an indictment in Whitewater, and some people say that Clinton didn't really perjure himself because he wasn't talking about the actual case that was being tried. And then they're always going to shoot, get somebody, but oh no, we're worried about the women and the children. Since when do these people care about the women and the children? Oh, we're worried about another Waco. And then Massoud, the Afghani leader, says, are there any men left in Washington, or are they all cowards? This is
right.
Clinton is still in office.
Well, Doug, you picked up on the sub-themes that I think are most troubling, because the way this thing goes by so fast, there are long stretches of action with very little dialogue. It's very fast-paced and quickly edited. You don't really have time to think about, okay, now, was what I just saw true or not? And that is insidious. But to me, the greater damage is from these themes that you just cited, that if we only had the Patriot Act before 9/11, we could have prevented it. If we could only spy more robustly on Americans, if we could only access people's computers at will, all this would have been prevented.
If we could only assassinate people, like we haven't overthrown 50 countries in the last century and had no trouble with assassination whatsoever. But, yeah, then under Clinton they knew about the Nairobi bombing, but they dismissed it, and Madeleine Albright is always very negative towards the FBI and the CIA. We're not prepared to go to war for two embassies. And the Secretary of State, Cohen, says brown troops would be a huge overreaction. And they say, you've got to capture bin Laden because we don't want anyone to cry assassination like they ever cared about that. And then part two, as soon as somebody, an air traffic controller says Flight 11 might have been hijacked, they cut to an F-16 taking off. And I was thinking, is that true?
No, that's not true.
I didn't know when the F-16s took off. I thought there was like three of them, and they were pointed in the wrong direction.
Well, there were two bases that scrambled jets, very much delayed from the call for the jets. And for New York City, the jets they sent, instead of from an airbase in northern New Jersey, just minutes from Manhattan, they scrambled two jets from Barnstable, which is an airbase on Cape Cod. Now, these jets fly pretty fast, so in many respects, the distance shouldn't have been that big a deal. But people who have clocked the progress of the jets from Barnstable over Manhattan suggest that they weren't flying at full speed. Now, I can't corroborate that, but that is one allegation that came from a fairly reliable source. And you're correct that there was so much confusion. And what we learned after the fact, Doug, is that there were war games being conducted on 9/11 involving phony hijacked aircraft. And NORAD, the air defense system, was preoccupied with that. And when these calls came in, and they did accurately depict this in the ABC movie, many times the people said, well, is this real world? Or is this an exercise?
Yeah.
Because they thought it was part of the war game program that was underway on 9/11. And that's another reason that there were, apparently, in retrospect, only four armed fighter jets on the entire eastern seaboard on 9/11.
Yeah, and as someone once said, there are no coincidences. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. They have more Madeleine Albright being a bad guy. We can't have a rogue counter-strike. We can't make peace while we're bombing Muslims. I can just see the Republicans saying that the bombing is to help Al Gore win the election. Then they show that the guy's taking aircraft training lessons, flight lessons, and they can't get the engine started.
Mm-hmm.
And as Michael Moore said, those people could not have learned how to do that at a flight school. They were probably Saudi pilots already. They don't mention the Supreme Court selection of Bush.
Nope.
They just show Al Gore announcing that Bush won. And they do have a good scene where Condi Rice makes Richard Clark, kicks him out of the
terrorism
principles committee,
right,
and says cybersecurity is the way to go. It's not a demotion. It's a resourcing.
Reorg,
and, yeah, and I thought that was good. And then somebody says, we have to have a FISA request, and oh, no, that's too much hassle. And then it showed, I thought it was good that they showed Rice getting the presidential briefing about
Bin Laden determined to attack
a strike.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have a meeting for like a month. And it seems like they did some re-editing and maybe they shot some new scenes. And
well, we didn't get to watch the president read My Pet Goat in this film. They probably figure Michael Moore covered that.
And the thing is,
Doug, hold on. We got to take a break and we'll return. We'll talk more about Path to 9/11. If you have your own critique from the comfort of your armchair, give us a call. Lines are open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let's take a look at your drive home. Big problems in San Juan Bautista. Southbound 101 at Rocks Road. A grass fire has been burning for a while. Here's the good news. It is finally out. It's been contained. All lanes have been reopened. Traffic, though, heavily backed up on both sides. In Watsonville, Highway 129 at Rogie Lane. Watch for an injury accident now. Solo vehicle hit the guardrail, though. He's off to the right-hand shoulder, but a piece of guardrail is blocking lane of traffic. In King City, southbound 101 after Broadway. A grass fire there on the right-hand shoulder. Fire department on its way. And at Pacific Grove, Highway 68 at Morse Drive. An accident here. A solo vehicle went off the roadway. CHP is headed out to check on those injuries. This look brought to you by Sleep Train. Purchase any Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, Beautyrest, Posturepedic, or Stearns & Foster mattress sets from Sleep Train today, and you'll get a luxurious 600 thread count sheet set valued at $199 absolutely free. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
And that makes us irresistible. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Doug Ferrari. He is a great American who sacrificed two nights in a row to watch this trek on ABC called Path to 9/11. And Doug, it was really interesting to me to see the first installment really was why it was all Clinton's fault. And the second installment really kind of glided over any indictment of George W. Bush. They did depict Cheney, Rice, and others as kind of deer in the headlights during the 9/11 attacks. And Richard Clark comes across as the Patton character who, you know, is always ready to go after him and urging others on in a fairly courageous and patriotic way. But we don't see the scene of Bush in the classroom in Florida. There are no references to the scramble that day as they flew him to Louisiana and then they flew him to Omaha and then he finally came back to Washington. And so the editing is what really I'm curious about. I'd love to see what was in it a week ago that has since been excised.
Yeah, they did have about 2 seconds of him in the classroom at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But they didn't show his head. You see Bush for less than a second for the whole second part, as if he has nothing to do with fighting terrorism at all, which, you know, may be an accurate thing. But they, a lot of people, like, you know, Bill Maher talks about the 7 minutes. He sat there for 7 minutes. But I heard that after the 7 minutes, he had a 20-minute photo op. So really, it was quite a long time before he did anything, if he actually did anything that day. I did think there was a couple of things that they showed under the Bush administration that were wrong. They showed the airport screwing up. They had warning lights go off on the computer when two of the hijackers showed them their passports,
right,
and they said, let's hold their baggage until they're on the plane. And you know, reminded me of how recently somebody did a study of airports, and they got 21 explosives-filled pieces of luggage through airport security. And I'm thinking, yeah, but they always find my tweezers. And it's like, you know, if you're going to hijack a plane with tweezers, and as my friend Paul Provenza, the comedian, says, I don't know what they're so worried about. Islamic terrorists don't tweeze. I thought it was exploitive to show the planes hitting the towers for about an hour and hearing the bodies dropping and all the dust and the people running. I thought that was very exploitive on 9/11 just to keep us scared, to keep us in fear. I thought it was in very bad taste.
I'm sorry, Doug, that's one of the things that changed on 9/11. Irony and taste are no longer active concepts in American communication.
I guess.
And that leads me to another thing that really bugs me about the whole fifth anniversary commemoration. So many people blindly repeat the phrase, 9/11 changed everything. Now, damn it, 9/11 did not change everything.
It certainly didn't change anything.
Well, it did change a few things. I mean, physically, we can at least agree that some buildings came down in New York. We're still not sure why. And I'm not sure that planes brought those buildings down. But my point is that people accept this global statement that 9/11 changed everything, and it's the opener that says, oh, sure, tap my phone. Go ahead. Dive through my garbage and my mail and my phone records and my financial transactions, because I'm so scared by what you've just told me that you can do anything because, of course, 9/11 changed everything.
Yeah, they said they needed a new Pearl Harbor, and we don't know whether, you know, the Bush administration knew that this attack was going to happen. We don't really know the truth behind the attack, and we don't really know whether FDR necessarily knew that Pearl Harbor was going to happen either.
Right.
But I thought another thing that bothered me, Peter, is that they showed the Flight 93, one of the Flight 93 guys' wives on the phone going, you know, they just hit the World Trade Center. And he says, yeah, I think they're going to use our plane too, honey. You know, I love you, and we're all going to die, so we're going to do something. And I'm thinking, didn't somebody say that cell phones don't work 8 miles up? What were all those cell phone calls from the Flight 93? I can't get my cell phone to work in my living room. You know?
Well, it's interesting because a frequent caller to our show who is a pilot has said that's one of his biggest issues is that, you know, he flies in a small plane and his cell phone doesn't work above a couple of thousand feet.
Yeah, but apparently people were talking, and you probably heard this or saw this somewhere too, Peter, and one of the things I've seen on Link TV or in Loose Change, that one of the guys says, hi, Mom, it's Mark Bingham.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Bingham, don't you believe me? And it's like, who uses their last name when they call their mother?
Yeah, that is bizarre. And, you know, Bingham was not included at all. They simply used Dina Burnett and her husband, Tom. And that was the composite character for Flight 93.
That's
which
right.
which is interesting because the record is replete with other interesting characters, including a gay rugby player on that flight. Let's go to the phones. Alice from Humboldt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Doug Ferrari.
Yeah, Peter and Doug.
Hi.
50-some clear warnings from everywhere in the world, and they sent all of our fighters away from the area. Now, what are we supposed to make of that? Why would they do such a thing?
Well, not only did that occur, Alice, but nobody's been held responsible for it. Not even somebody who, you know, was got a little pink slip in their file or got fired or transferred. Nobody's responsible. It's just a collective whoops for 9/11.
Yeah.
The more people that get that do the worst things in this administration, what they do is instead of getting fired, they get the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
And
George Tenet and Paul Bremer, heaven. Thanks for your call, Alice. And this from the New York Times editorial page today. It was especially disturbing that Tom Kane, co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission, former governor of New Jersey, was willing to lend his prestige to this ill-considered project. Mr. Kane served as a senior consultant and has repeatedly defended it in public, even as several Democratic members of the commission criticized its distortions. Maybe Mr. Kane was entirely kidding when he quipped that he had not apologized to Bill Clinton for any inaccuracies because, well, he was out campaigning against my son yesterday in New Jersey, so I couldn't reach out to him at all. It just smacks of political motivation there.
Yeah, and then, of course, on the first night, as you remember, Peter, they ended 15 minutes early so they could have a special nightline where they basically said everything you just saw was wrong, ABC News had nothing to do with it, and the 9/11 Commission blames both the Clinton and Bush administration, so, you know, don't send us any letters.
Yeah.
And then on the second night, they ended at 10 o'clock, and then they had a special prime time live hour where they also spent an hour saying, we didn't have anything to do with this, and it's, you know, please ignore everything that you just saw.
And if you have any questions, call Dr. Phil.
Yeah, talk about CYA.
Doug, I got to go. Thanks for joining me today. Doug Ferrari.
Thank you, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Poor, deluded Al-Qaeda. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The foiled car bomb attack in Damascus today reminds us that we're not the only ones who screw up when it comes to strategy. I mean, we've certainly made big mistakes in the war on terrorism. But if we look at Al-Qaeda's track record in their war against Western civilization, it's even worse. For starters, Western civilization continues to spread everywhere. And as for converting us to Islam, last week Al-Qaeda issued a tape called Invitation to Islam, which included this line. We invite all Americans and believers to Islam. Decide today because, quote, today could be your last day.
You see, that might work with an appliance sale, but it's not going to cause a stampede to the mosque. You guys should consider, your last celebrity convert was Michael Jackson in 2003. His coattails are fairly short. Then, in yesterday's tape, Ayman al-Zawahiri said that our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan are, quote, doomed to defeat. If you really want us out, Ayman, the last thing you should do is say that we are, quote, doomed to defeat right before an election. In fact, if you really wanted us gone, you'd make peace break out. Then the Iraqi government would tell us to leave and we'd have no choice. You see, we Americans have hearts and minds, too. And if you really want to win us over, you'd be protecting the oil fields throughout the Muslim world, not blowing them up. You'd train your young men to be geologists, not terrorists. Because then, you wouldn't have to spend 100 years converting us. You could just buy us in 20. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. The Peter B. Collins Show, and every week we get a visit from Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative journalist from truthout.org and author of the book News Junkie, a memoir yet to be featured on Oprah's book list. Hello, Jason.
How are you, Peter?
I'm doing okay today. How about you?
Good. You know, I would like, it would be great if Oprah put that on her book list. I could buy a new house.
Well, yeah.
Oprah can do anything.
Well, I'd like to see you on the show and see exactly how you jump the couch.
Then I'll lose my production deal at Paramount, and the whole thing will be, just a big scandal.
Well, Jason, a couple of things I want to touch on, and we've got two segments here, so why don't we spend the first one on the piece that you published yesterday at Truth Out about 9/11. And first up, I just want to share with you a rant I made in the preceding half hour, and that is, there are many things that offend me. I hate the way that 9/11 has been appropriated for such base political purposes. But one of the things that just bugs me so much is people who blithely repeat the phrase, 9/11 changed everything.
Yeah.
And I believe that that phrase is so insidious because it opens people up to fascism, to police state tactics, to a sense that you can do anything as long as you tell me you're making me safer.
Right, right. I certainly think that phrase has been misappropriated, would that be the right way to describe it, by, you know, folks in the White House and, you know, and even the media to some extent. I mean, I use it to When I use 9/11 changed everything, I use it in terms of describing how we have suddenly, you know, we saw a sea change in terms of the way the media operates, there was no such thing as questioning the White House, questioning the intelligence, anything that, you know, that led to, basically led to the Iraq War. And, you know, my piece yesterday, I really needed to once again drive that point home, because 9/11 and Iraq are so linked together, simply because, you know, this administration has said, well, 9/11 changed everything,
yeah.
You know, and then that, as that should be some sort of excuse for the war. And I recall.
Well, and just one, I'm sorry, but it suggests that people who are rational and precise are somehow off base because 9/11 changed everything. When you try to say, look, by your own admission, Bush, Saddam had nothing to do with 9/11, yet you keep giving these speeches that say that Iraq is the central front in your bogus war on terror.
Right, right, exactly. And I think that, you know, it's funny because I was looking back at some of the older speeches that Bush had given, where he actually, it's interesting that you bring it up about 9/11 changing everything, because that is one of the things that he said in terms of, you know, reasons for going to war, or reasons for, you know, this illegal surveillance. And it's just wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And, you know, I one of the things that stuck out with me was the fact that he said, President Bush said, that we're at war because we were attacked. You know, again, that's invoking 9/11. Iraq didn't attack the United States. And, you know, it may seem like I'm jumping off on a different topic, but again, it's all linked together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I recall, you know, 5 years ago, exactly what I was doing, you know, what I was covering at the time. I was working at Dow Jones. You know, obviously we were, you know, trying to figure out what implications these attacks had for the financial markets. But, you know, I just cannot believe that, you know, how little information has come out, you know, by the mainstream media over the past 5 years, and in just researching, you know, this is a fact. In just researching the information in terms of when did we really know about the intelligence failures? When did Bush actually, you know about the fact that Al Qaeda or Osama bin Laden was, you know, was a threat? These things were actually, these stories were put together by folks in the independent media. And they spent years, you know, hammering away at this before anyone caught up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just amazing that you know, still 40%, there are 40% of people out there who believe that you know, Iraq had something to do with 9/11, and that's the reason that we're at war. And you know, I'm just listening to you know, Bush's speech yesterday. It was disappointing.
Well, wait, you're being awful kind.
Okay.
To say disappointing.
It was horrible.
Well, and earlier in the day, at a memorial service, Dick Cheney used the term appease.
Right.
And that is the newest code word for the defeatocrats, to anybody who opposes the Bush policy. It's all lumped together with cut and run and appease in a Hitler style. And it is so offensive for that language to be consciously inserted into what should be a political free zone. You know, I am one of those people who doubts what we've been told, the official story of 9/11. That doesn't stop me from having compassion, sympathy, and sadness for the people who suffered incredible losses on that day. And I would not sully that moment by injecting politics, or even my view that, you know, much of the 9/11 story is BS.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure where I stand on that, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I certainly think that there is, you know, the 9/11 Commission, the reports were nothing but a whitewash. I absolutely believe that. But I think that, you know, we'll certainly find, hopefully find out more, as the years go by. But again, I think it'll be more like 40 years before we actually have the real story.
Well, we're going to send you a DVD to add to your collection. It's 9/11 Press for Truth, the latest effort from the Jersey Girls,
right.
Paul Thompson's timeline. It's produced by Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor. And I think it does a good job. It doesn't get into the physics of buildings coming down and that sort of thing. It focuses largely on the failure of the 9/11 Commission and the way the Bush administration opposed it from the beginning, its very existence, and then blocked its efforts to get good information, wouldn't let Bush and Cheney testify under oath or separately, lots of other issues that arose. And the bottom line is, whether you accept what we've been told about the Pentagon or Building 7 is less important to me than the notion that big lies have been told. And I'm more concerned about the motivation for those lies than the specifics of, exactly who was on what plane and what happened. Because if any of our suspicions prove to be true, it leads to a very dark Pandora's box of the most evil motivations that one can ascribe to other human beings.
Right, right.
And that is the electrical field that keeps a lot of people from even approaching the subject.
Yeah.
Because they say, well, if that story isn't true, dude, then what is?
Yeah.
And you have to say, well, it's something really ugly.
Yeah.
I had this discussion in Washington last week, Jason, with a friend who grabbed his phone and called a buddy of his, somebody he knows and has known for a long time, a guy who was at the Pentagon on 9/11 and who, in fact, had worked on the construction project there that hardened the side of the building that was impacted by something.
Right, right.
And we asked him a series of questions. He firmly believes that it was, the airliner that flew into the building. He understands my questions about how the opening in the building isn't big enough to swallow up a 767 and that there is so little debris on the outside that, if there is any additional physical evidence, why don't they show it to us?
Yeah.
To put to rest the conspiracy theories. And, the biggest motivator for all the conspiracy theories is the proven lies of this administration.
Right.
And what they have misled us about.
Oh, they have demonstrated that. And that's what continues. That's why I remain skeptical. I mean, there is no way that I would ever, believe anything that comes out of this administration. I don't care if it's off of a press release from the, Postmaster General. There's just nothing, that this administration has a total disregard for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think certainly, there are, when it comes to 9/11, there are a number of things out there that we don't even know. And I think that, and specifically, I mean, in terms of memos and documents that, may add some validity to what you're actually saying.
Yeah. Well, and yesterday I took it on the chin from a caller, Adeline, who said, get over it. Stop nitpicking about what happened on 9/11 because we need to win this election in November. And I said, Adeline, I'm sorry. These are interconnected issues.
Right.
Because if, one of the most important events in recent history was concocted, fabricated, manipulated, whatever term you want to use, then we need to know about that.
Yeah.
And here's a note that came in from Jeannie. She says, I want to thank you for keeping 9/11 truth on the front burner. It's clear that we've been lied to about far more than the reasons for invading and occupying Iraq. This is obviously not being addressed in the corporate media. The question of who is responsible is at the core of everything and must never be swept aside.
Right.
I agree with that.
By the way, I think that she... the woman put that put it out there very well. I think that's her point is it's exactly what is happening.
And I do not accept the sucker punch that I need to be able to prove every step of what occurred on 9/11 in order to disprove that what we've been told. disprove that it's true. That's the correct construction.
Well, you look at the. It's not just in this administration or Washington. I mean, the 9/11 docudrama is a perfect example of, you know, of how this story, these facts have just been manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and did you sit through both nights?
You know, I refused to turn it on.
Oh,
I did not. I would not turn it on. Once I had seen Richard Clark's letter yesterday, I felt that it was, I did not want to turn it on.
Yeah.
I did not think that it was there was any point to it.
Now, I missed Clark's letter. What did it say?
Richard Clark actually wrote a letter yesterday to the head of ABC. Now, Richard Clark, by the way,
is a
consultant for ABC.
Well, but he also comes off very well in the film.
He does. He's also a person who happens to be involved in every sort of aspect of counterterrorism in both administrations. Now, Richard mm-hmm. Clark wrote a letter in which he said that the facts that have been presented here are absolutely wrong. Many of the facts mm-hmm. are wrong. He felt that that the people who were involved with the production took liberty to place much of the blame on the Clinton administration.
Now, wait a minute. Look, I used to work for ABC, Jason.
Yeah.
They use the very same high standards that are applied to Desperate Housewives on this two-night series.
Yeah.
The bathing suits are all accurate. I got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment. Jason Leopold with us, and we'll update the Armitage confession and the latest on the Wilson Rove plane case coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And next hour, one of your colleagues from Truth Out is going to join us. Jeff Millard is at Camp Democracy in Washington, D.C. And they have a success story from an action they took today. We'll update you on it next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Let's take a look at your drive homes. Better news for San Juan Bautista. We had grass fire southbound 101 at Rocks Road in the center divide. It's been contained and all lanes have been reopened, but that is why you're looking at heavy traffic on both sides of the highway. Meanwhile, in Watsonville, 129 at Rogie Lane, an injury crash here. A solo vehicle hit the guardrail, so we've got debris, the accident, and now a stall in that area reported as well. Pacific Grove checks in Highway 68 at Morse Drive. An accident here. A solo vehicle off the highway. And speaking of Highway 68, it is a tough drive between Monterey and Salinas in both directions. Apparently
apparently there is a vehicle leaking fluid in the Laguna Seca area, so it's going to jam you up quite a bit. This look at traffic brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. We're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And my number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Music in the moment is from Supertramp, an album from the 80s called Brother, Where You Bound. And if you ever have a chance to pick it up, like in a used CD bin, do it. There's a 15-minute song on there, which is a critique of the first Bush administration, complete with sound bites from Poppy, and it's an interesting little piece. Jason Leopold, again, is with us from truthout.org. And, Jason, I want to lead into your piece that you published on Friday at Truthout. The headline, Armitage Schmarmitage, and we'll get you to explain that in just a moment. But while I was in Washington last week, David Broder published an op-ed in the Post, and he essentially said he was breaking his own self-imposed silence on the issue. He said he's just kind of not written about it, not cared about it. And he basically took the position, which mirrors the editorial that was published, I think, exactly a week before in the Post, that Karl Rove is innocent, that this was much ado about nothing, that it was a little slip on the part of Armitage, and that we, you and I, and everybody else who has piled on Karl Rove and suspected that this was an orchestrated effort of the White House, owe Rove an apology.
Yeah.
So would you like to deliver that right now?
I am sorry that I did not... I am sorry that Karl Rove, that I did not hammer away at you even harder. You know, again, the I think that that is outrageous. You know, it's outrageous that it comes out of the Washington Post. The New York Times has been sort of up and down. Not quite sure exactly, you know, what their stance on this story is. I don't even think they know.
I agree.
The LA Times is sort of wishy-washy. You know, when I put that story together last week, after Armitage, you know, spoke to CBS News, I went through the court documents, simply because, you know, the reason that I did that, a lot of this is re-reporting stories that, you know, that I have reported over the past 2.5 years regarding this case. But I had to do that because everything that happened or that was said prior to Thursday, prior to Armitage's mea culpa, was totally out the window. Nobody was paying attention to that. In fact, I don't think it's as if it never happened. And because Patrick Fitzgerald, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, I'll be perfectly honest, it would be great for him to come out. It's kind of annoying.
Yes, it is.
You know, that the special prosecutor is still silent about this. And I think that, you know, there needs to be some sort of confirmation of something, whether this investigation is ongoing or not. But
clearly, you know, Fitzgerald's not worried about you and me.
Of course not.
And his goal is to, I mean, he got George Ryan convicted, the former Republican governor of Illinois, last week, and sentenced to 6 years in prison. So he's a very serious guy, and at least in Illinois, which is a Democratic machine operation, he had no compunction about taking out a major Republican. So I have to still work with the theory, perhaps more informed by hope than reality, that he's just laying a really long hook down Karl Rove's gullet.
You know, I absolutely believe that he is out there and doing his job. This is absolutely believe it. I mean, I don't because it's such a high profile case. You know, you would, I would, maybe because of experience, in other similar cases with other administrations, with when there were special prosecutors, you know, things would leak out every other day, if not every second, in some instances. So I sort of expect with a high profile case you'd get, you know, these types of leaks. But excuse me, the fact is I do, you know, absolutely believe he is out there doing his job. I think it's important, though, with Armitage's revelation, that we continue to present the facts here. And the facts are that, Fitzgerald doesn't have a voice right now. So what I was trying to do with these court documents was actually have Fitzgerald speak, because that's what he was doing in those court documents. When he says there were multiple officials in the White House, engage or looking to discredit Joe Wilson and leaked his wife's identity, or when he says that Dick Cheney was, quote, obsessed with Joe Wilson, that's Fitzgerald speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not me. That's, I take that directly from those court documents. And
well,
it doesn't change anything in terms of, you know, what happened even when Armitage was opening up his mouth.
And another part of the Broder piece that also mirrors the Washington Post editorial is that, they're simply trying to dismiss the whole fact set and suggest that since Fitzgerald knew about Armitage from day one of his appointment in this prosecutor role, that he, therefore, is some kind of a rogue prosecutor who's just gone way off the reservation.
That is unbelievable. You know, this is, to me, this is a perfect example of the laziness of the mainstream media and why the mainstream media consistently fails, you know, to do its job. There is, I mean, after last week's, after all the stories that came out in all the major papers last week about this, you know, I was left with, you know, the feeling that there is no way that I would ever go back to, you know, writing in that arena, simply because, well, first of all, they probably wouldn't even take me, but if I did have the chance, I would never be able to write the story that I did on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is unbelievable that David Broder, you know, puts his two cents in and disregards the facts. I mean,
Jason, just about 40 seconds remaining. Did you see Dick Cheney on Meet the Press?
I did. And again, you know, war critics abating terrorists. I mean, this, it's what's amazing to me and why I get so fired up, like even now, is that it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't feel like anything's changed. It doesn't feel like anything's changed in terms of, you know, I feel like there is a progressive grassroots activism going on, and that's great, but I'm talking about in terms of the media.
Yeah, and the big picture.
Yeah.
Jason, keep up the good work, and
thanks, Peter.
Don't apologize.
Have a good week.
All right, thank you. Jason Leopold from truthout.org. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan checks in from Washington. We'll talk about Armitage and Rove and those guys, plus a few other episodes of Ethically Challenged Members of Congress. That's next, plus the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, reality radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, reality radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. This recent trend of lower gasoline prices should continue for a while. Later this week, Mantil Williams of AAA says gas stations will be switching over to winter blends, which are less expensive than the summer blends designed to limit smog.
The fact that the winter fuel blends are starting to be implemented is having a positive effect on the prices. For gas prices right now, about $2.62.
That's the national average for a gallon of regular. And there's more good news from the futures market. Today, the price of crude oil fell below $64 a barrel, its lowest level since March. Industry analyst Peter Butel says concern about a damaging Gulf hurricane is waning, and there's less worry about a cutoff of supplies from Iran.
It's something that consumers should enjoy, but not to the point that they rush out and buy new SUVs. Buy something smaller, and maybe this can continue.
Criminal charges against some people at Hewlett-Packard seem inevitable now. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the latest.
California's attorney general says his office already has enough evidence to indict officials from Hewlett-Packard. Bill Lockyer made his comments on PBS's NewsHour. The company reportedly used inappropriate techniques to track down leaks to the news media. Those methods allegedly included using false identification to obtain records of phone calls made by reporters and company directors. The FBI is also looking into the case.
A comprehensive report commissioned by the VA concludes there is no such thing as Gulf War syndrome afflicting veterans of the fight to drive Iraq from Kuwait. But Steve Robinson of Veterans for America says that's not the point.
We have never said, as Gulf War veterans, that one thing made us sick. And that is the classic definition of a syndrome, that one thing makes you sick. We have said that multiple exposures create chronic multi-symptom illnesses.
Dr. Lynn Goldman, who led the study, says they found no unique pattern of symptoms.
The veterans who were exposed to the oil well fire smoke, if they went into the war with asthma, their asthma was worsened.
They also found an increased risk of Lou Gehrig's disease. The VA will weigh these findings as it decides whether Gulf War vets qualify for special disability benefits. Experts concerned about overuse of antibiotics get some backing in a new study of kids with ear infections. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Jonathan LaPook says at least 62% of the infections cleared up on their own.
What this and other studies have shown is you're not a bad parent if you don't give your kid antibiotics right away. It's okay to wait a couple of days, give ibuprofen, give ear drops to decrease the pain, but maybe hold off on the antibiotics and see what happens after a couple of days.
A study funded by the Japanese government says people who drink green tea are less likely to die of heart disease or stroke, but researchers found no evidence that green tea protects against cancer. The Dow up 101 points today. This is CBS News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right, even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
You've probably seen the commercials on late night TV, and maybe you've wondered if the girls in those videos were old enough to be going wild for all the world to see. The government wants to make sure they are, and CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis tells us it's cracking down.
The company that makes the Girls Gone Wild DVDs and its founder, Joseph Francis, will pay a $2 million fine and admit that they failed to keep records showing the ages and identities of their performers. The Justice Department says this is the first prosecution under a federal law to protect children from sexual exploitation. Francis must also release a public statement admitting wrongdoing.
There are charges pending in Florida that Girls Gone Wild videotaped two 17-year-olds in sexual situations. It's a case of mom gone wild in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. In court today, Amanda Livelsberger admitted giving her 13-year-old son marijuana as a reward for doing his homework. She said she'd been smoking pot with the boy since he was 11. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer aspirin your simple wonder. Plus, enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com, and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm the talk show host who has not received clandestine payments from the United States government. Of course, you could tell that. I don't think any radical Republicans would pay me for the kind of commentary we provide. Ah, but they did find a few willing journalists and reporters. From the nation's capital is Melanie Sloan. She's the deputy trying to work on the corruption problem there. She's executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, but I keep missing the boat. I mean, Armstrong Williams got a couple of hundred grand just to fudge his reporting on the No Child Left Behind. And we have these fine fellows from Miami, like Pablo Alfonso, who was working for the Miami Herald and picked up an extra 175 grand in the last 4 years, moonlighting for Radio Marti and TV Marti, the propaganda arms that we feed to the unwilling and unwitting citizens of Cuba.
That's right, and he's not alone. It turns out there are at least 10 South Florida journalists, including three from El Nuevo Herald, excuse my Spanish, which is terrible, and they receive regular payments from the U.S. government for programs on these stations aimed at undermining the communist government of Fidel Castro. And the significant thing about that is, first, you have to realize that propaganda, which is illegal in the United States, is actually legal abroad. So when it was so offensive when the government was paying Armstrong Williams and Maggie Gallagher, and we learned about that because they were in U.S. newspapers and they were paid journalists, that broke actual U.S. laws prohibiting propaganda, whereas the U.S. government goes out of its way to export propaganda. So the real problem here, though, is that U.S. journalists agreed to go along with it. They agreed to be paid by the U.S. government, and they had their day jobs of being regular old journalists, and at the same time, though, they were engaging in this kind of propaganda, and they were very well paid to do it. And at times, you couldn't distinguish between when they were engaged in propaganda mm-hmm. and when they were engaged in their regular journalism jobs. So there's a huge conflict of interest there.
Now, Melanie, routinely, journalists who work for the New York Times or the Washington Post or any other major publication appear on television in this country. And they often receive a talent fee, particularly if they're a member of my union, called AFTRA. And there are contracts that, identify what a scale fee is. And if Paul Krugman from the New York Times appears on Hardball or something like that, he might be paid, and those fees are not disclosed. Where do you cross the line in, an appropriate fee for services rendered and something that is objectionable because it suggests that you've been bought and paid for?
Well, I think the difference is when a reporter appears on a television news show, often they're paid by that news show to give their real opinion on that news show. When the U.S. government is paying you in order to talk about Cuba, the U.S. government is paying you to give the U.S. government's position on Cuba and not your own opinion. And some of these reporters will say, well, I was giving my own opinion anyway and I was just being paid for it. But I think it's really a problem when the federal government is paying journalists, and mm-hmm. I think that's really where we have to look here.
And the new owners of the Miami Herald, which was under the management of Knight Ritter for many years until it was sold earlier this year, they reacted pretty swiftly, and they canned all these people.
They did. It was, you know, it's a more interesting story even than that, because it's the Miami Herald that did the Freedom of Information Act in the first place that led to this information.
Oh, really?
So they did a Freedom of Information Act and request, and then found out that it was their own reporters, basically, who were doing this. I mean, they weren't directly working for the Herald, but they were working for the Herald's parent company.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a funny story.
Yeah, that's interesting. And by the way, the paper is now owned by the McClatchy Group, the Sacramento Bee newspaper ownership. So any further investigation required here, or case closed? They lost their jobs, they get to keep the money, and that's it?
Well, they lost their job, case closed there, but you've got to wonder who else the U.S. government is paying and what other reporters are on the federal government's payroll. So I don't think this is the case closed. It's clear that even though the Bush administration has gotten in trouble for this in the past, it's a big scandal down in Florida, you know there are other people out there who are willing to do this to make a buck.
Well, and we also know that the Bush administration has had long-running contacts with Hollywood to try to insert certain messages into primetime television programming. Now, it started off mostly as anti-drug messages and pro-health messages. It's kind of the equivalent of a product placement, you know, putting a Coca-Cola or a Sony Walkman on a TV show. And I'm highly suspicious, although I have nothing to go on here, Melanie, that this two-night docudrama propaganda piece that ABC ran has some similar vulnerabilities, because one of the co-writers and a guy who's featured prominently in the film is a former ABC News reporter named John Miller. And John Miller now works as an information officer at the FBI. And I have a little problem reconciling his role in some of the untruthful elements of the docu-whatever, and also just the message points that really reflect themes of the Bush administration, which were embedded in that film.
I know, that is very suspicious, and I agree with you, Peter. I wouldn't be surprised if we were to one day find out there were people on the Bush payroll, the Bush administration payroll, for that piece as well.
And there's an old rule in the Federal Communications Commission regulations that says that when you receive a fee, that has to be disclosed on the program. It came out of the game show scandals of the 50s. And if you ever watch Wheel of Fortune or one of those shows, at the very end, there are these things that fly by on the screen, text, and it says, you know, a promotional fee paid by Chevrolet, because they just gave away a Chevrolet. Now, that is what they're supposed to do, but I didn't see any kind of disclosure of any fees paid to participants, including Governor Kaine, in the broadcast the last two nights.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah. All right. Now, at Crew, last year you published a list of the most corrupt members of Congress, and it came out to a dozen. I understand that there are a couple of fresh nominees.
There are, and I'm sorry to tell you that it's going to be a lot more than a dozen this year. We're looking more at 25 or so members of Congress. And right now I want to tell you about one Republican and one Democrat on the list. The Democrat on the list we've talked about before, that's Alan Mollahan from mm-hmm. West Virginia, ironically enough, formerly the ranking member on the Ethics Committee.
Yeah.
For the past 10 years, Representative Mollahan has earmarked $369 million in federal grants for over 254 programs in his district, and it turns out that between 97 and 2006, $250 million of that, which is a pretty substantial amount, went to five nonprofits that he created and that are staffed by his friends, and that in return, the top employees of those organizations have given $397,000 to Representative Mollahan's campaign and political action committees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not looking good.
Yeah, we saw a similar scandal in California with our former Secretary of State, Kevin Shelley, who got earmarked money out of the legislature in Sacramento, funneled it into a friendly nonprofit, and then those individuals peeled off money and dumped it into his campaign.
Like, this seems to be a new favorite of members of Congress, really. He's not alone in doing this. And the other thing that Mr. Mollahan has to worry about is that he went from having assets of about $500,000 in 2004 to 2006 having assets of about $8 million. And that's a pretty substantial jump, and he had failed to disclose any of the property that he owned on his financial disclosure forms. He is now under investigation by the Department of Justice. So
now,
we'll
also
have to wait and see what happens to Mr. Mollahan.
Also, I understand that Republican Kurt Weldon of Pennsylvania is in your sights.
That's right. Mr. Weldon is, he's got the Friends and Family program going, which is where he has used his position to financially benefit both a longtime friend of his and several of his children. His friend, this is probably my favorite story, she was just a small town real estate agent until one day she decides to become a lobbyist, because that's a normal career change.
Oh, yeah.
Real estate agent one day, lobbyist the next. And who does she lobby? None other than her good friend Kurt Weldon. And she has brought in tons of business by lobbying Kurt Weldon. And in return, her clients then give a lot of money to none other than Kurt Weldon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm real curious about that one because he's an interesting figure. He's very conservative, very pro-military, but he also has been open to some of the whistleblowers who've wanted to report misdeeds of the Bush administration, particularly related to Iraq. So it's going to be very interesting to see where that one goes. Melanie, I wanted to get one final comment from you. David Broder published a column in the Post, Washington Post last week, which stunned me. He basically says that it was all Armitage in the unlawful disclosure of Valerie Plame's identity in retaliation for Joe Wilson's honesty about the Niger claim in the State of the Union message. And he wants people to apologize for suggesting that Karl Rove bears responsibility. What was your reaction to the Broder column?
I thought it was really offensive, but it's taking the same tone as the Washington Post editorial we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what the Post and so many editorial columnists are missing right now. The fact that Armitage did what he did, which, by the way, there is no excuse for, I mean, he's releasing classified information, does not in any way pardon Karl Rove, Scooter Libby, and Dick Cheney for the plot that they had to go out and discredit Joseph Wilson by outing his wife. And none other than the special counsel, Patrick Fitzgerald, has said that he cannot imagine what evidence there would be to suggest that they were not part of such a plan. And this is from, and Mr. Fitzgerald knew all about Armitage's role.
Right, from day one.
From day one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not ready to apologize.
Me either.
I'm not going to ask you to.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Peter.
Thanks, Melanie. We'll talk next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. On the web, citizensforethics.org. Next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Ford Escape Hybrid, a midsize four-door SUV with four-wheel drive. If you've been considering a hybrid, be sure to test drive an Escape. If you think you need a six-cylinder gas engine, Ford makes a gas-powered Escape, so compare them yourself side by side. For most people, the hybrid has plenty of power and acceleration, and its quiet operation is a real plus. Our hybrid demo passed the grueling hill climb test on most attempts, but one time it stalled with a max payload of four adults and luggage and had no reserve power to restart uphill. Inside, the Escape is comfortable with enough headroom and legroom, and our demo has a $2,000 GPS navigation system that works well and could use a bigger screen. By the numbers, the 2007 Ford Escape Hybrid gets 36 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, that's right, and stickers in California for about $30,000.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Katie Couric. CBS News and I are so excited that 5:40 a.m. will be airing my notebook every weekday at 6:04 p.m. I'll be sharing my thoughts about politics, culture, and life in general with Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz right here on KRXA 5:40 a.m. So join me, Katie Couric, for Katie's Notebook right after the Peter B. Collins Show and CBS News at 6:04 in the evening from Monday through Friday on KRXA 5:40 a.m.
Let's take a look at your drive home in the Monterey Bay and surrounding areas. Highway 68 has been backed up in both directions between Monterey and Salinas almost all afternoon long. It's due to an earlier vehicle that was leaking some fluid that has been cleared away. In Watsonville, San Juan Road at Murphy Crossing Road, an accident still being worked on. Over in Pacific Grove, westbound along Highway 68 before Morse Drive, watch for an injury accident. A solo vehicle went off the roadway and through a fence. It's going to be a little visual problem. People will slow down to take a look. And our newest crash is in Salinas, northbound 101 at Hartnell Road. An accident off to the right shoulder, but it's a big accident, a big rig, and a pickup in this crash. This look brought to you by New Advil PM. Aches and pains keeping you up? Big news. New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain relieving power of Advil, plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. That's a look at traffic. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
I've never seen so many knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now.
No?
No, no. How about that one?
Well, how about this button over here?
No, not that one either. I know. Yeah. I'll try pushing this one. Put my hat. Will you? That's a good fella.
Be careful what button you push. You never know who's on the other end. Ah, that's the sheer delight of the Free Speech Zone, where we open up the phone lines and take your calls. Uncensored commentary from you, the listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got a couple of lines open for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. If you haven't dialed the new number toll free, try it. 888-5-PETER-B. And I want to pick up on something we discussed here yesterday. Adeline, a very thoughtful listener from North State, called and said, Peter, why don't you move on from this 9/11 truth thing? We've got more important fish to fry. We've got an election coming up in November, and that's what you should be focused on. Well, I put it out to listeners, and I've gotten a lot of interesting email. Sorry, Adeline, nobody supports you so far. Here's a note from Dan in Carmel Valley. I am in complete agreement with you on the issue of debunking the 9/11 tragedy. If the Bush administration was in any way complicit in this terrorist attack, it would go down as the greatest crime in American history. The woman who called and wanted us to just move on represents the kind of attitude that the Bush administration welcomes. We should continue to doggedly pursue the real truth and what actually happened on that fateful day. In a word, something really stinks about this tragic event, and we need to know the truth, all of us. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that remark. William in Santa Cruz, you're up first here in the Free Speech Zone today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi.
Hello, William.
You were speaking in the last hour about this, well, I consider it a propaganda initiative on the part of the Bush administration about this post-9/11 world concept.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up a lot of good points about how it's insidious, et cetera, for any number of reasons, but those were good points. And there was one thing that you didn't mention about it, and that is that actually the whole notion's bogus. And the reason for that is that the first attack on the Trade Towers in New York, which was, I believe, in 1993.
You're right.
That was every bit as much a terrorist attack on the United States that happened on this side of the ocean. Their whole concept about oceans don't protect us anymore, they keep repeating, you know, George Bush keeps saying that over and over again. That happened here too. So you could argue, if you wanted to call it an age of terrorism, you could say it began then. So for us, and therefore we have a model of a president who dealt with a terrorist age, you know, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
and did so effectively, because there were no more terrorist attacks under Bill Clinton after that. They understood the threat of Osama bin Laden. They were going after Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And there were no more terrorist attacks until the Bush administration came in and dropped the ball. And they were briefed by officials of the Clinton administration about Osama bin Laden, the importance, and saying to the Bush administration that they were handing off to, that this guy's your main worry. Focus on him. He's your biggest problem, and then they took their cue on that to completely ignore the advice.
Well, you're factually correct. The one issue is that the prosecution that convicted the blind sheikh and a couple of accomplices in the 93 WTC attack, at the time we did not know was connected to other figures. And the connecting figure is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his nephew, Ramzi Youssef. And so there is linkage. And what I find to be unfair is that in this docu-whatever that ABC put on...
Mockudrama.
A mockudrama, that's good. You know, some of the threads are based on fact and are, you know, relatively accurate. But they leave a lot of things out, and they put in gratuitous things to discredit the Clinton administration and to, in my view, make the case that we need more of a police state in order to approach these threats.
Right.
And that, of course, I reject. As I reject that the war in Iraq has anything to do with combating terrorists. And so, you know, I want to be really clear that I'm not in denial that there is something like Al-Qaeda and that there are people like Osama and Zawahiri who, you know, have evil intentions toward the United States. That said, we have made the whole situation worse. We have tried to put out the fire with gasoline.
Exactly.
And Bush continues to try to mislead, misdirect the American people with a little help from Darth Cheney into believing that there is connectivity. And it's either 40 or 50% in a poll released yesterday of Americans still believe that there was complicity by Iraq in the attacks of 9/11.
Right.
And, you know, Bush continues this with the, you know, it was not an accident or just a coincidence that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was brought back into the picture. His name has been frequently mentioned in Bush's speeches. We say he's at Guantanamo Bay. You and I have no way of confirming that, William. But it's clear that this TV movie was orchestrated for political purposes to scare us about bombers with liquid explosives and to demonize Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other members of Al-Qaeda so that we will open our arms to further police state tactics, more spying, and more intrusive intrusions into our privacy. Thanks for your call. More coming up next. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 33 minutes after the hour, we're halfway through the free speech zone, and you haven't called yet. Why don't you grab a line? 888-5-PETER-B. Talk, talk, talk. That's what we do on the radio, and some people walk the talk. We're going to check in with Camp Democracy and a success story there coming up straight ahead here on the PBC show. And there's room for your call at 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Marjorie joins us from Oregon. I don't know exactly where in Oregon. Tell us, Marjorie.
On the South Coast.
On the South Coast. Great to have you listening.
Thank you. Here's some levity.
Please.
Did you hear about the little boy that was interviewed that was in the class when GW was reading to them?
My pet goat?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, I think I saw this on television, and if so, I only get two channels, so it was either CBS or PBS.
Yeah.
But, so here he is 5 years later saying that when the man came in to tell the president something, that GW turned beet red.
Ooh.
And this little boy in his child's mind interpreted that George needed to go to the bathroom and was embarrassed to excuse himself.
Where's Art Linkletter when we need
it? Right. And then I got to thinking about it, about what would be the emotions that would turn a face beet red. One of them is embarrassment, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then another is anger when it flashes. And I don't know if there's any other interpretation, but I thought it was very interesting.
Well, in Bush's case, we can rule out shame.
Right. So it, then would he be angry because...
He didn't get to finish his story.
Right.
He wants to know what happened to the goat.
Don't you love it?
Oh, I do. I do.
And this little boy didn't realize how revealing his little story was being.
That's amazing. Now, Marjorie, you're living in a beautiful place, but you have limited media, only two channels. Do you have a DVD player?
No.
Oh, gosh.
But I have friends who do.
All right. Well, how about if we send you a DVD copy of Press for Truth, 9/11 Press for Truth?
Oh, I would love it.
Okay. Well, hold on the line. Matt will get your address. We'll send one along because I don't want you to go the dish route. There's just a lot of bad stuff on TV. You're probably better off overall.
Right. Well, I love PBS, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call today.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Nice to hear from you. Next, we go to Washington, D.C. Did I do that right? I tried to put her on hold, but I think I hung up. Marjorie, call back. It was my mistake. I was using my thumbs. Jeff Millar joins us, one of the great people I met at Camp Democracy when we broadcast live from there last week on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Hello, Jeff. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Peter B.?
Well, I am pleased to hear the news of the success of your operation on Capitol Hill today.
Yeah, it's good to finally get some successes. Sometimes you see that number creep up and up and up. It's now at 2,671 U.S. service members killed in Iraq. And it can get you down at times, but today we chalked up one for the good guys, at least the beginning of one. We've been working on this campaign with Suzanne Swift for, she's now been incarcerated for 96 days, and we've been working on this campaign to not only get Suzanne Swift justice, but also end military sexual violence. Suzanne Swift was command raped and sexually assaulted throughout her year tour in Iraq by three male members of her chain of command. And when she got home, she was placed back in that unit. She had a breakdown due to post-traumatic stress disorder. She went AWOL. She was apprehended from her house in Eugene, Oregon, and is presently being held at Fort Lewis, Washington. Mm-hmm. Now, Congressman DeFazio from Oregon area.
He's a Democrat.
Democrat from Oregon. He has a number of times made inquiries, but we do not need inquiries. You see, a congressional inquiry, all they do is check life, limb, and eyesight. If those things are secured at that time, they report a positive finding back in the inquiry, and that's it. Well, we need a congressional investigation. We need a congressional investigation to overlook what the military has actually put down in their investigation, because right now, Suzanne Swift is facing a court-martial, dishonorable discharge, or even prison time because she saved her own life and she ran away from rapists.
Yeah.
If any woman today in Washington, D.C., ran away from a rapist and had the courage enough to tell the world about it, we would applaud her as a hero. But instead, the military is choosing to prosecute Suzanne Swift, while two of the men who perpetrated these heinous crimes have been honorably discharged and are allowed to get the VA benefits that Suzanne, to this day, is being denied.
Well, and I want to commend you and your colleagues in Iraq Veterans Against the War for championing this issue. We discussed it last week, and I really think it's important for people to understand that these things do occur and that people need to be held accountable. Now, tell us what it was like, because you were prepared to sit in until you got satisfaction in Mr. DeFazio's office on the Hill.
And it took us a couple hours of speaking with the staff there, and the end result was that on the 21st, Congressman DeFazio himself will sit down with myself and Sarah Rich, the mother of Suzanne Swift, and he will personally give us updates as to what the situation is. And in the meantime, his staff is initiating a congressional investigation into this matter, and not a congressional inquiry, but a congressional investigation. And sometimes it's democracy, and you got to participate. sitting on the sidelines doesn't get democracy done.
Yeah.
What democracy is, it's a participatory sport. We have to get involved. And Iraq Veterans Against the War, every single day is getting involved. We got folks down in New Orleans doing recovery. We got folks here in D.C. at Camp Democracy. We got folks all over the country from New York to L.A. and back that are doing exactly this on a daily basis, taking our democracy back.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I salute you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask all of your listeners, if they can, to check out SuzanneSwift.org and sign the petition. Write your congressperson. There shouldn't be one congressional investigation into this. There should be hundreds. Every congressperson who wants to end military sexual violence needs to begin a congressional investigation. We need to send a message to the military that this will not be tolerated in our armed forces. And that's what the armed forces of America are. They're our armed forces. And as men and women of America, we cannot tolerate sexual violence anywhere, especially not in our armed forces.
Jeff, thanks for your leadership on this issue. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Peter.
That's Jeff Millard at Camp Democracy in Washington. Log on to campdemocracy.org, and it's not too late for you to make some plans to go to Washington and lend your voice to this important grassroots effort, campdemocracy.org. Next, we go to Willow Creek, inland from Eureka, and A-OK is on the line. Hello, A.
Hey, how's it going, Peter B?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Glad to hear you're A-OK. So I was just thinking of the three reasons mentioned for a person's face suddenly turning bright red.
Okay.
Well, the anger is usually precipitated need for action. You're not likely to want to sit down and read a book.
Right.
It's hard to be embarrassed about something no one else knows about. So I think rather than ruling it out, we have to conclude shame was the most likely of the three. And you're never ashamed about something unless... you'd happen to be feeling a sense of guilt. Anyway, I thought I'd point that out.
All right. Well, I was being lighthearted, and my point is that Bush is so shameless that, he doesn't have the ordinary reaction of a red face when he feels ashamed of himself.
Well, seems like guilt and shame might be the most likely cause of turning red at that point. So
all
maybe
right.
There are some things that are hard for even he to swallow.
Let me ask you this, A-OK. Did 9/11 change everything for you?
Yeah, I'd definitely go with that.
Really?
Well, it made it... that was before I became A-OK, under the knowledge that we're all one kind, to have to all be A-OK. And that's why I was so glad to hear that you were doing A-OK.
Okay.
So it changed my life as being one of the many things that brought me around to knowing that what Ben Franklin said about American patriots is now true of every person on the globe. We'll all hang together or most assuredly hang separately.
All right. Thank you, A-OK, from Willow Creek.
Hey,
all right. Nice to talk to you. Next, we go to Cindy in Monterey. Hello, Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I'd like to be in Washington.
Well?
Face-to-face with Bush. Seeing him on TV, I didn't have the sound up because I can't take it. And he's an automaton to me. But I'm thinking of Valerie Plame. Would the apologist for Rogue liked it if she had been murdered? That if her job was so dangerous that she would just be like another sacrifice to keep the network going?
Well, I at this point, I can't ascribe a motive that they wanted her to be off.
What would be better?
Well, I recognize that, they were trying to pay back and send a message to her husband. And they were willing to use means at their disposal that are illegal and unethical and just fundamentally unwise. But I can't take it to the level that they wanted her dead or were so cavalier that they didn't care if she died. I don't think it went that far. And I don't think that the narcissists who form the inner cabal at the White House really are deep enough to go there.
Well, they're very bizarre people, no matter what, because they are dealing with life and death issues. and cavalier not.
Just a sec, Cindy. I think we agree that they have a sense that the value of the life of an average person, American or Iraqi, is not the same as the value of a Bush Republican.
Exactly, a gated community inside a gated community. But, you know... Oh, no, now I've lost my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I do that to you?
Yes, you do, often. Well, they are so bizarre. What else I was going to say? Well, what if people started missing here? Like, they had this expert, Galeb Carr. He's written a book called The Analyst, and he's a war strategist and also a very gifted writer. And when 9-1-1 first happened, they had him on CNN. They had John Douglas on CNN. And these were people that I trusted to at least be intelligent, but they've disappeared. And it's like we get fed from people that are not really experts. You know, the CDC, you know, they're all specialists in germ warfare, but not one of them's an Albert Schweitzer. So it's just creepy beyond creepy now to me. Automatons, you know, they have to astral travel with zombies. We have to listen to our inner voices and not let the inner person be drowned out. By
your inner voice has spoken today. Thank you, Cindy.
Bye-bye.
That's Cindy. Your call can be next. Join me toll-free in the free speed zone. It's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm still Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. A lot of questions about the San Juan Bautista area. The reason, southbound 101 and northbound 101 for that fact, right at Rocks Road, still a little slow. There was a grass fire earlier this afternoon. It's been put out, however, you're still seeing some slow traffic. Also slow, Highway 68, both directions between Monterey and Salinas, a little sluggish. And we're still dealing with an accident in Watsonville, San Juan Road at Murphy Crossing Road. CHP on the scene with that. Let's go to Pacific Grove, Highway 68, before Morse Drive. An injury accident, a solo vehicle crash, and in Salinas, it's our latest wreck. Northbound 101 at Hartnell Road, an accident involving a big rig and a pickup off to the shoulder. This look brought to you by your Pontiac dealer. See the new 2007 models now arriving or get a great value on the remaining 2006 Pontiac models at your local Pontiac dealer, or you can visit BayAreaPontiacDealers.com. I'm Alex Daly. That's traffic on KRXA 540.
We'll be right back.
to the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me.
We're taking your calls. It's called the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B. is my toll-free number. Howard joins us from Monterey. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Peter B.
Howard, I'm sorry, your cell phone is crapping out on us. And
Sorry.
There, that's much better.
Okay.
Don't move your head even an inch.
I've had suspicions ever since then that one of the reasons that he went 7 minutes without saying a word, or you know, or his face turned red or whatever, was that a key part of his plan had not happened. There was one plane that I suspect was supposed to do something like that Tom Clancy book, crash into a joint session of Congress and wipe that Congress. And when he heard that plane had crashed into a field in Pennsylvania, he suddenly had to start doing a lot of recalculating, and it probably overloaded his poor little mind.
Mm. Well, that's one interesting theory. You know, one of the things, and I have to be candid, I don't buy the official story about 9/11 in so many respects. And on the other hand, I do share the doubts that many people have that this administration and its tentacles could have pulled off something so complicated and kept people from blowing the whistle on it and leaking about it for 5 years. And that's one of the things that you know, kind of keeps me in check in terms of how far I'm willing to imagine this whole thing went.
Well, the problem is that, you know, I was in the military, and I know that even when Payne Stewart's plane wandered off course, and remember when they all passed out and he crashed into a mountain finally?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They had interceptors on their wings within 10 minutes.
Right. Well, and just recently, there was a woman who apparently flipped out due to claustrophobia on a plane from London to Washington,
right.
And they diverted it to Boston and winged it in with F-16s.
Now the Pentagon, the people in the Pentagon, the commander and the commanders of the Air Force, the commanders of the interceptor forces, had almost 2 hours between the time of the first attack and the time the plane hit the Pentagon.
Well, and this is again one of the failings of the 9/11 Commission report. It
and
really
fired them.
It doesn't explain how we got skunked on Super Bowl. It wasn't a Sunday, but Super Bowl Tuesday, and you know, the coach is still in place. I've never understood that. Howard, thanks a lot for your call. Larry in Aptos, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Pete. You know, I wanted to bring up this term Islamofascist.
Uh-huh.
Because as far as I know, the first time I ever heard that was from a guy by the name of Dave Emery, who has a radio program in the Silicon Valley on one of the public radio stations.
Sure, I know Dave.
Yeah, oh, you know him. He's a protege of Mabe Russell.
That's right.
He's been using this term for about 3 or 4 years now in describing any of these groups like Al-Qaeda or Al-Taqwa. And, you know, if you've heard his shows, and I don't know if you have lately.
No, I haven't in recent years.
You know, he's been really getting on about links to, you know, Nazis that escaped Germany back at the end of World War II, and how a few of them made their way actually into Saudi Arabia and kind of like linked up with Wahhabism.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, he's got his sources. But he started using this term about 3 or 4 years ago, and, you know, most people would consider that he's on the left, even though I wouldn't really say he is. And it's really ironic to hear the right using this term.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they found out, but somehow, as far as I know, I don't know that anybody used that term before he did. I might be wrong.
It could be a leak from the Hoover Institution at Stanford. They're within range of the station that Dave Emery is on at Foothill College
exactly.
on the peninsula. So
yeah.
I don't know, but that's a possibility.
Yeah.
All right, Larry, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate
now.
You bringing that forward. I got one more caller, and I'm going to get to you. But first, I wanted to rebroadcast a commentary made by Keith Olbermann yesterday from Ground Zero during his program on MSNBC. And there are a lot of problems with the corporate media. But this is one courageous cowboy working for General Electric. Take a listen.
Tonight, a special comment on why we are here. Half a lifetime ago, I worked in that now empty space behind me. And for 40 days after the attacks, I worked here again, trying to make sense of what happened and was yet to happen as a reporter. And all the time, I knew that the very air I breathed contained the remains of thousands of people, including four of my own friends, two in the planes, and as I discovered from those missing posters, seared still into my soul, two more in the towers. And I knew as well that this was the pyre for hundreds of New York policemen and firemen, of whom my family can claim half a dozen or more as our ancestors. I belabor this to emphasize that for me this was and is and always shall be personal. And anyone who claims that I and others like me are soft or have forgotten the lessons of what happened here is at best a grasping, opportunistic dilettante and at worst an idiot, whether he is a commentator or a vice president or a president.
Ooh.
However, of all the things those of us who were here 5 years ago could have forecast, of all the nightmares that unfolded before our eyes and the others that unfolded only in our minds, none of us could have predicted this. 5 years later, this space is still empty. 5 years later, there is no memorial to the dead. 5 years later, there is no building rising to show with proud defiance that we would not have our America wrung from us by cowards and criminals. 5 years later, this country's wound is still open. 5 years later, this country's mass grave is still unmarked. 5 years later, this is still just a background for a photo op. It is beyond shameful. At the dedication of the Gettysburg Memorial, barely 4 months after the last soldier staggered from another Pennsylvania field, Mr. Lincoln said, "We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract." Lincoln used those words to immortalize their sacrifice. Today, our leaders could use those same words to rationalize their own reprehensible inaction. We cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground, so we won't. Instead, they bicker and buck pass. They thwart private efforts and jostle to claim credit for initiatives that go nowhere. They spend the money on irrelevant wars and elaborate self-congratulations and buying off columnists to write how good a job they're doing instead of doing any job at all.
Keith Olbermann with a very powerful commentary. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, click over to crooksandliars.com. Ben and Salinas, join us for the final word. Hi, Ben.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm very angry after this following the story of Susan Swift. You know, there are many very stupid Americans. Please, Peter, help me tell them what command rape is so they can get a visual picture of these officers they're supporting against this young lady.
The allegation is that she was repeatedly subject to sexual harassment and forced to have sex with three of her commanders during the year that she served in Iraq.
In other words, she is forced because they are the commanders of superior rank to disrobe and submit to their advances. Is this not correct?
That is what
okay,
I understand.
You hear that, moron, America? I have two beautiful young daughters who are very nice people. They're not like their dad. They're very nice. And the thought of somebody doing that to them brings out the father in me. And I'm livid with anger. And these people, these Jesus believers, especially in the moron Midwest there, who would have you believe this, there was a person 2,000 years ago born of a virgin birth and then rose from the dead. If you can believe that fantasy, then why are you are so willing to go along with women who commit adultery should be stoned while the men who perpetrate this are okay?
And
this woman,
Ben,
was a
Ben, I'm
woman,
sorry,
a
I'm out of time. That's Ben and Salinas with a very powerful comment. I'm Peter B. Collins. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. Hope you'll join me then.
Happy trails.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They haven't been named, but some executives at Hewlett-Packard might need to line up criminal defense lawyers. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the latest.
According to California's Attorney General, some Hewlett-Packard officials have broken the law.
We currently have sufficient evidence to indict.
Bill Lockyer appeared on PBS's The News Hour. Hewlett-Packard officials authorized an investigation into news leaks coming from the company boardroom, but investigators reportedly went too far, allegedly using false identification to obtain phone records of news reporters and others. Hewlett-Packard's chairwoman, Patricia Dunn, has announced her resignation effective in January. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Board member George Keyworth has resigned. He's acknowledged sharing company information with reporters. Ford's new chief executive, Alan Mulally, is wasting no time. Tomorrow, the Wall Street Journal says Ford will announce a massive restructuring that will include cuts in white-collar jobs and benefits. The company is also expected to unveil a new pricing strategy to help move its cars and trucks. Gasoline prices typically come down after Labor Day, but generally not so far and so fast.
We haven't seen this kind of a price decline in gasoline prices in a number of years.
Industry analyst Peter Butel expects the plunge to continue as gas stations switch over from low-pollution summer blends to less expensive winter blends. And the price of oil is falling. Today's close below $64 a barrel is the lowest in 6 months. The U.S. Embassy in Damascus will remain closed at least till Thursday after the terrorist attack today that was thwarted by Syrian security forces.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. In a rare expression of thanks to the Syrian government, the administration says it is grateful for the help given in response to the attempted attack on the U.S. Embassy there. The U.S. regards Syria as a state sponsor of terrorism, but spokesman Tony Snow says the U.S. hopes that Syria could become an ally and make the choice of fighting terrorism.
Four attackers arrived in two vehicles packed with explosives and tried to attack the embassy with automatic weapons and hand grenades. Three of them and a Syrian guard were killed, the fourth terrorist wounded. No Americans were hurt, and the building wasn't damaged. Veterans of the 1991 Persian Gulf War want special disability benefits for the physical and mental health problems that